Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, for today, September 30th. And today we'll be sharing beauty tips and some beauty tricks. So if you are listening out there and you want to call in and share your beauty tip, you can call 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. And I'll check in with Denise to see if we have any beauty news.
Just quickly, I wanted to remind everyone about the makeup show Orlando coming up Sunday, November 4th and Monday, November 5th. The show takes place at the Peabody Hotel Orlando. That's 9801 International Drive, Orlando, Florida. And on Sunday, the show is from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. So make sure you get your tickets and book your hotels and all those things like that so you can enjoy the makeup show Orlando.
Do you know if they've announced any of their keynote speakers?
I think so. Hold on. Yes, we have Johnny Lavoie, on Sunday. Maurice Stein on Sunday as well. Then AJ Crimson on Monday, and let's see if there's anyone else. I believe that's it so far.
Oh, okay. So they haven't announced everyone yet.
So hold on. Okay. We do have the the Wolf Brothers as well on Monday.
Oh, on Monday?
Yes, that's their territory, Orlando Wolf Brothers.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Cool.
And then, of course, Michael DeVellis and his great seminar, 10 Words.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely worth, if you're going to the show, that's definitely worth attending that particular seminar. So we have tonight Miss Cynthia Jones on the line. So I want to say hello to Cynthia. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, ladies. How are you doing?
We are wonderful.
How are you? I'm good. I'm tired. all of that stuff, but I'm good.
Cool. Before we jump into the conversation, I want to see who else is here on the line. Hold on. Hello.
Hi. It's me, Santara.
Hi, Santara. How are you?
Good. How are you?
We are well. A lot like Cynthia, tired, but it's all good.
I understand.
All right. So we're just going to jump right into the conversation, and everybody can just share what you have. Who wants to go first?
That's not how that works.
Can we get a little more? Like, what exactly do you want?
You know,
about?
I just thought maybe, like, I could kind of, like, take a break a little bit tonight and just let the listeners who call in just kind of go for it.
The setup.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
No. Well, tonight's show, we basically wanted to just, like, share some of our favorite beauty tips or beauty tricks. Like, I know my sister and I have been tackling a lot of tattoos this week, and so I'm sure she may have something she wants to say about, you know, tattoo coverage or some things that, you know, we've played around with to try to make it work. So we just thought that we would share some things, whether it be makeup, skin, hair, nails, you name it, whatever you want to say. So we just thought tonight would be a show where we would just share all the information. We might learn something new. You might get something out of it. So there's no really any particular format. Just want to go for it. So who wants to go first? Like I said.
Well, since we're, gosh, you're pitiful. You're pitiful tonight. But since you brought up tattoos, I guess we can start there.
All right.
I guess the word that I have for tattoos is help. It has been a tough, I would say, 2 weeks dealing with tattoos. Nowadays we can't just allow any tattoo to be seen, and you know, everything has to be cleared. You have to get clearance from you know, any studios or networks that you're working with to even show any tattoo. It could be something as simple as a word on your finger. I mean, any little thing. It's got to, you know, you have to get it approved from whoever the original author is of the tattoo, whoever designed it. Mm-hmm. There's got to be, even when you buy tattoo stencils or transfers, you have to get those approved by whoever's selling it. They should have some type of paperwork that says they're allowed to sell this tattoo, and this, you know, tattoo was created by so-and-so. So it's been difficult because nowadays, actors or people who say they want to be actors, they all have tattoos. So, you know, we have the lovely job of covering up tattoos, all of them. You know, we have one actress that has 6 tattoos, 2 on her neck, 2 on her fingers, 2 on the inside of her wrist. So they all have to be covered. We have an actor that has a tattoo pretty much on his chest, all the way up over his shoulder, and onto his right arm. So guess what? Wardrobe decides they want to put that actor in short sleeves all the time. So, you know, we have the lovely task of covering that up. It's just been one thing after another. It seems like everybody has a tattoo on this show. So, you know, so then you're working with different skin tones. And, you know, you have, especially when it's time for me to, the quickest way for me to cover a tattoo is to airbrush it. Okay, so most tattoos, I'm working with two airbrushes, you know, one with a, you know, like a color to pretty much block out the ink color, and then another airbrush to pretty much, you know, cover all of that up and match the skin tone. That's my way of working fast, is using two airbrushes. Or sometimes I may cover up the actual tattoo with some type of cream product and then airbrush over that. But either way, you know, it's my method is pretty much to block it out and then cover it up. This past week, it was by any means necessary because there were so many tattoos, and it was just so much going on. Like, you have other actors that you have to do their makeup, and you have other actors who need makeup and their tattoos covered. So it was just a lot. So the best way for me to do it is to airbrush, number one. 2, again, to conceal the blue ink, you know, with some type of orange makeup, and then to cover with a makeup that matches the skin tone. And sometimes you have to mix you know, to get that exactly right.
And I'll say that covering air, I like working with tattoos, whether it's covering them up, whether it's putting them on. I really like working with tattoos. And just like my sister said, one of my favorite things to do, or one of the things that I find that works well, especially with people of color, is using an orange/red-based, well, not red, but orange, whether it's a medium to, or whether it's a light to dark orange-based color on the actual tattoo to cover the blue, like she said. And I use, a lot of times I'll use a cream, two cream colors that I got from MAC Pro like years ago. Like, I don't even know if they even sell these anymore. But Marietta Carter Narcisse is the one who really put me down with the those particular products. And the darkest one she said she was using on Tyrese years ago when she was working with him. And I remember when my sister and I were working on the gospel, Idris Elba had to cover the tattoo on his arm. And I remember the, using the darkest one, which covered his tattoo beautifully. And the great thing I like about it is that once it's, once you cover it, it seems like it really works well with pretty much any other colors, whatever colors that you're going to use to actually match the skin tone. It really works well with other colors. You know, sometimes when you, you're mixing colors, things just kind of go wrong really fast.
Yeah.
But the thing that I liked about these two particular products, it really works well with a lot of other things. And so covering his tattoo was, it was a beautiful situation once it was covered. And then like she was saying this week, I initially started working with the actor, and I was using the lighter product of the two on him. But then different times we were trying different things and just trying to get it right. So there were some challenges there. But, again, I like to use, for me, I like to use a cream-based product to actually block the actual tattoo out. And then depending on what I'm doing, if it's something quick, I might use another cream. But if it's something where you want this, this tattoo coverage to hold up all day, then I'll definitely use something alcohol-based, and 9 times out of 10, airbrush it.
Let me ask y'all a question. Have you ever tried using Colortration, the company Colortration?
Colortration?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That name sounds familiar, but I'm not, I can't really say that I have, but it, it seems like,
they're like super, super, super pigmented, super, super, super thick, and they don't have a whole lot of shades, but I know in times when I've had to do tattoo coverage, I've been able to use that. I mean, I've, you know, sometimes I've used my airbrush machine, but more lately I've used the Colortration. And,
let me ask you, is this a cream product? What is this?
It's cream. It is cream. And it comes in a pump. It's like a, maybe a,
it's specifically for airbrush cover?
You mean
it's for like tattoo covering.
Tattoo covering, yes.
Tattoo covering or heavy concealing, like super, super heavy. Like I tried it one day to see how heavy it would be if I was to use it like on dark circles under the eyes. But you use so teeny tiny bit of amount because it goes a really long way. And it's so thick to where it makes your tattoo covering goes so much quicker. Because I know with the airbrushing, you know, you have to make sure you get every color, you know, neutralized properly to get that even tone. And so it takes much longer. Whereas with the Colortration, you can just go through, wipe it all out, and then you can always go back in and alter the color.
Right.
But see, the only issue we would have is if you are using that cream product, you know, you really can't get that on the actor's clothing.
Well, it is not transferable. They have a barrier spray that you can use after it sets, and then you just spray it, and it's done. Of course, you don't. They don't recommend you spray the face, so, you know, any body parts.
But see, that stuff never works. To me, that stuff never works because, you know, if the actor starts sweating, anything can happen.
What
you know, because you have to consider movement, you know?
It is waterproof. You should try it. Like, the only negative thing that I found, I was like, maybe I have a bad batch, is I tried it for the first time the top of the summer, and earlier this year, I went back in. I didn't use it too much, but I went back in. I was like, oh, let me use this to do some concealing. And each bottle, it was so stiff, it was hard to get the product out. I literally had to pop the bottle to get the product out. And then I was like, okay, it looks like I have to get another one. So I don't know if that's a normal thing, but it really does. You can actually go on their website, colortration.com, and order a sample set so you can, you know, test it out before actually buying the larger bottles.
What's the color range like, Cynthia? Is it a lot more light colors than darker?
Of course, in, like, you know, most lines, it's a lot of lighter colors, but they do have darker colors.
I want to say that I have tried it. I remember a makeup artist, I was on a show maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, and one of the other makeup artists was telling me about this particular product. And they gave me a sample pack, and I want to say that was the product, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah, you can choose from, like, I think it's like either 6 or 7 to sample from. And it comes with a nice, you get to choose whatever shades you want, and they tell you, you know, what colors, what they compare it to as far as other lines. So, you know, you're getting, you know, the correct shade that you need. And once you have that, it comes like a little mini stick so you can, you know, take the product out because it comes in these small tubes. And, I mean, it really covers a multitude of sins. I can say that. I was like, wow. But I think that's just my only negative experience where I felt like all the large bottles that I purchased all went to waste because they all dried out. But like I said, I don't know if I just had a bad batch or what. But I was definitely excited about the coverage, the durability, all of that.
Now let me ask you, do you cover a lot of tattoos when you do weddings?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
Okay.
Mhm. Let's see. With that, that's a long day. They sweat, they dance, whatever else. And you know, I've had people to contact me a day or so later asking, "How do I get this off?" I'm like, "I mean, alcohol, because the water's not gonna do it."
Uh-oh. Not at all.
I do like the fact that you can sample the product so that you don't actually have to. You can test it so you're not locked into buying the entire set. But they do have a good color range.
Say that again.
But they do have a good color range.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I might have to try it. Are there any other products that you like to use when you do tattoos? I know a lot of people. A lot of times, brides will bring you the Derma Blend.
No, I haven't even heard Zimmer Blend in I don't know how long. They don't bring anything to me. They just say, can you cover this? So either I'll use a colortration or I'll use, I've used Ket Hydroproof.
Right.
The air shit. And those are really my only two that I've really been using.
Now, what about your technique for covering? What's your technique for covering?
For airbrushing, I like to just put a little bit of powder on the back first.
Mm-hmm.
Only because just any additional oil, I mean, you rub it down with rubbing alcohol, but just in case, just a light dusting of powder. But then I like to neutralize the tattoo if there's, you know, different colors in there. Neutralize first and then go in and do my covering once, you know, it's all neutralized. And I go in with my cover, let it dry a little bit, and then I go back in and I just keep I'll do a stippling method with the airbrush gun, a point and click, to basically stipple it until it looks like skin.
Gotcha. Does it ever come off really heavy? Does it ever come off really heavy?
Nope.
Cool.
No. Because that makes me nervous, because I'm like, I don't want it to look blotchy. The only time I'm concerned is if there's hair there, and I know you should shave, but a lot of everyday people aren't going to always go for that, especially when it's not
right.
Temperament. So right. You just have to make it work. It's like, okay, I see all this hair rising up right here. But then I'll just use some different setting sprays and just kind of try to keep it looking as natural as possible.
Well,
so even
speaking of hair.
Uh-huh.
No, sorry, finish it. Go ahead and finish.
I was saying even if their hair, if it starts looking too light, then I'll just stipple it a little darker so it doesn't look crazy.
So you would prefer... You would prefer to, I guess, when there's a lot of hair there, would you prefer to cover it by hand versus airbrushing? Is that what you're saying?
I would prefer to cover it by hand.
Mm-hmm.
But I have in the past done it with the airbrush, and that's how I, you know, you'll see, like, oh, you didn't realize how hairy they were.
And the reason why I asked that is because I was trying to be clear, because there was a makeup artist on the show Thursday or Friday, and she was covering someone's tattoos that were on her neck, and she was actually doing it by hand because, you know, they're very small, so I guess she just thought maybe she'll do it by hand and knock it out real quick, but then she was like, oh my goodness, she's so hairy on her, you know, on her neck.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, let me get the airbrush.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just...
She was more satisfied that way?
Uh-huh.
Wow. Because I know there's a time I'm looking like, okay, how am I going to fix this? Because it's set. Like, it's done. It's hit the skin. It's over. And so in times like that, when I feel like I see too much hair, then I'll stipple a little bit darker to try to make it as natural as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, like I said, the only other option that I've used has been coloration, and it does pretty nice. Like, I've even used it just as a tester for unwanted brow hairs, just to see how well it would cover, because I don't have any tattoos, just so, you know, on my own testing time. I was like, oh, it covers pretty good.
Uh-huh.
So to actually use on someone else, I was actually surprised. And you know me, I'm all about testing products all the time. Like, oh, let me try this. Oh, let me get this. Let me see how
it goes. We know about that. We know about that. So do you have any particular, I mean, I know you commented a lot on the tattoos, but do you have anything in particular that you wanted to share?
Let's see. Nothing as exciting as tattoo covering. what's something I've been looking to do lately? I've been using my Beauty Blender a whole lot more lately.
Mm-hmm.
And slightly less brushes, actually, as many as I have, even though I still use about 10 of them at a time per person.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'll go in and I'll use a Beauty Blender to blend out all the foundation, you know, to make it an even canvas. But then I'll use that same Beauty Blender and I will pile on and make them look like a clown with cream blush. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, and putting it on, it looks like a clown. But then I'll take
mm-hmm.
the Beauty Blender that has a little bit of the foundation still in it and
mm-hmm.
I'll just start blending it out. And when I say it looks so natural, it doesn't look heavy. It just looks like a nice, natural blush skin.
I actually do the same exact thing.
Really?
I always use a Beauty Blender for a foundation application, but when it's time to do the cream, if I'm using cream blush, I will use the Beauty Blender to apply the blush and then to blend it out with the, with the portion that has the foundation still on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've really been loving doing that because I was like, okay, I'll apply it with this brush or I'll apply it with that brush. But I just love that finish when you use the Beauty Blender to just blend it all the way out. And, I mean, there have been people that they'll watch me and they're like, ugh, that looks like a clown. And I'm like, I agree. That looks amazing.
Right.
And then you just start popping it out and it's like, wait a minute, what is that? It's like,
right.
It's a magic trick. It's a Beauty Blender. Gotta have it.
Yeah,
well,
you know, we have Miss Rianne Silva coming to visit us this week on set, actually. She's the creator of Beauty Blender, and her daughter's actually in the movie, so she'll be visiting us this week. But she's already sent us some of her new black blenders, as well as as well as the white blenders.
Because, Beauty Blenders, those things are so everything. I have about 8 now, but, I feel like you can never have too many. Because on set, someone is always trying to steal my Beauty Blenders, and it's not like you can label them or anything. You just have to watch them. I love those things.
Oh, yeah, I probably have about 1,000,008. Some of them are so old, I don't understand why I won't get rid of them.
Yeah, I don't understand it either because I looked at some of those the other day. She does have some very old ones.
Hilarious.
Yeah, it's nice, though, because the white ones, I was thinking, well, maybe since they're white, use them for skincare. And then the black ones, I thought maybe, the guys like how they feel, but they probably don't want a pink sponge, so use the black ones for the guys. So I'm liking what she's doing so far. And then she has Cynthia. You asked me recently about a brush cleaner that Rianne with her Beauty Blender, she still has a regular brush cleaner, but she has a brush cleaner that's very similar to that for the Beauty Blender.
Yeah, it's a solid.
Yeah, it's a solid cleanser.
Well, let me tell you, ever since that day we had that conversation, I went and I cleaned my brushes with the Beauty Blender cleanser.
Uh-huh.
And it's just about gone. It has done an excellent job, but it goes through extremely quickly.
Yeah, it does. And I don't know if it's because we're using too much.
Yeah, I think it's because we tend to use too much. We think we need more than we actually need.
Mm-hmm. And the same thing, like how I douse my Beauty Blender. I'm like, okay, I had to get all these impurities out of here.
I think
the soap kicked up in there. like your rest of the day.
One of the best ways to, well, first let's talk about using the Beauty Blender, because I think one of the best ways to use the Beauty Blender is to use it wet. Most people get the Beauty Blender and they start using it right out of the container and they think, oh, wow, you know, what's so fabulous about this? This is not that great. You know, my makeup's not moving the way I want it to move. Well, if it's just a little damp, it will work perfectly. So even if you have to, like, hold it underwater, spray a little Evian on it or something, you know, or a little a toner or something on it, it works best when it's wet.
But you know what else? Even if you feel like you've powdered your client too much, but you still want them to glow, take that same damp Beauty Blender
exactly.
and just pop it on the skin just very lightly to blend
exactly.
it out and it looks so pure. Or even
exactly.
even with it dry, you can apply powder. And that has looked
yeah.
really nice as well.
Yeah, you
so
can.
Many uses for that Beauty Blender.
It does. That's what I do with my actress now. You know, whenever I make her up, when I'm, you know, collecting, like, everything that I've used on her to take to set, to touch her up with, I throw the Beauty Blender in the bag. And then, you know, whenever I need to touch up, if there's something, of course, if I need to touch something up, you know, take the Beauty Blender, touch it up because it still has makeup on it.
Right.
You know, or just to freshen up. Take the Beauty Blender and freshen up.
Right.
I just want to quickly say hello to Lee, who's joining us in the chat room as well. He put a comment out on the Beauty Talk Facebook page. He discovered the show, and he's been listening and catching up on all the old shows. So thank you, Lee, for your support, and thank you for joining us tonight. Also, just want to remind those people.
I'm still trying to get into the beauty lounge.
Oh, you can't get in?
Can't get out.
Just to let those of you out there who are listening by phone know, if you want to make a comment, just press the option to speak with the host. And that number, for those of you who want to call in, is 914-803-4399. So, Ms. Santel, you've been quiet.
Yes, I have.
How are you?
I'm well. I'm doing all
right
over here.
Good. What's that for?
I'm in the chat room. Let's see. So Tanisha Technicolor would like to know, what is the lifespan on a Beauty Blender?
Oh, wow.
Well, 100 years.
Right. I know I've had my Beauty Blender maybe 6 years? Six,
really? The
years?
Same one?
One of them, because, you know, I had bought 10,000 since.
Yeah, I remember that time.
Mm-hmm. Right, when I first bought the first one years ago, still have it.
Mm-hmm.
But it has been good to me. One thing you must keep in mind, if you travel with your Beauty Blender, that's fine. Just try to make sure you leave some drying time for it, because
mm-hmm.
you don't want that wet sponge to be enclosed in a bag,
no,
a Ziploc bag.
Yes.
And that's what's
right.
so great about what Rihanna's doing now, because now she she's got it packaged a few different ways, but in the individual packaging she includes this little pouch that, you know, that where the sponge can actually breathe in. You can put the sponge in there, close it up, but it can breathe through that little pouch, because they will mold if you leave a wet sponge in something that's enclosed.
Right.
But speaking on the lifespan, I still have the very first Beauty Blender that Rihanna gave me, and that was from, I want to say, 2005, 2006, somewhere around there. I still have it. It's not in the greatest condition, but I still have it.
Well, let me just say this, and then I want to share a tip that I see in the chat room. But speaking of the Beauty Blenders, I will have to honestly say that I have tried every single knockoff that has been out there. And some of them are cheap, $4, $3. some of them $7, $8, some of them $12. None of them work as well as the Beauty Blender. So the materials on all of them are not great. They tear easily. You can wash some of them one time and it's falling apart. I really have to say that Rianne has created a great product, and I'm not saying this because I know her. I'm not saying it, but I've used the product myself, and I've tried the other ones because there have been times when I was like, oh, my God, I can't afford this Beauty Blender. Let me go out and, you know, try some of the knockoffs, and that's what I did. And I will say that the one that you can get in Target, the purple one, I guess out of all the knockoffs, I believe I like that one the best. But I have so many beauty blenders now that I don't really ever have to go to Target to get them. But there is one at CVS. It's not shaped like an egg. I don't know what to say the shape is.
More like
pink.
A bullet.
Yeah, more like a bullet, yeah. And it's pink. And those are good to use, you know, when you just need something quick and you don't have a beauty blender, but they tear easily as well. That's the only thing. The knockoffs tear so easily. But I have to say the beauty blender is the best. And I can't say how long I've had the ones that I have because I really don't keep track of all of that. But I wanted to read a tip, and I don't know if I can find it.
Is it the OxyClean tip?
No, the one that Lee had about the wetting the liner brush.
Okay.
Hold on. I think I had it. Let's see. Okay, let's see.
Yep.
Oh, okay. So Lee says that he uses waterproof mascara on a brush to line the waterline, and he says it's safe on the eyes and it's waterproof so it won't run. I think that's an awesome tip.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's an awesome tip. And then he also speaks about using the Beauty Blender wet to sheer out the foundation. Yeah, that always works really nicely.
No, I'm wondering how does the waterproof mascara, when you put that on the waterline, you know, are your client's eyes irritated easily with that mascara on the waterline?
Is it irritated because it's mascara versus liner?
Well, I mean, not necessarily, but yeah, that's a good point, but also, just the fact that it's on that waterline, because I'm sorry, anybody put anything on the waterline on my eye, it's going to irritate me because the product is getting in my eye.
Mm.
Yeah. Every time you put something on the waterline, you're going to chance it between the client blinking so much, if they can look
right.
Out, it, you know. I think it'll work on some clients, but I wouldn't say everybody.
But not all, right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just to get the product on the waterline, you're going to have your eye steady and open, and just having your eye open like that is good. For some people, you know, getting that air in that eye is going to make them blink. And then, you know, some people are good for, like, squinting and closing their eyes really tightly, therefore allowing the product to get into their eye.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious to know, you know, if he has a lot of clients where, you know, it seems like it must work well with most of his clients anytime he does it, but just for some people, I'm just wondering if there are like a few people who that doesn't work very well on.
He said it depends on the client. He did respond in the chat room. He said it depends on the client.
Okay.
Yeah. I've seen it done in the land of New England with the girl. There are a lot of girls that will do that for that liquid eyeliner look, and they want
mm-hmm.
it down on it, and they will do that. It does not move. But what I find is when you really get up on them, you know, when you look at the waterline, it's lighter on
mm-hmm.
the inside and then darker. So they're really, really careful to stay along the darker part of the waterline. which actually is very, it's not as far in, closer to the eyeball.
Right.
So
right.
you're less likely to tear up if you can kind of keep it out. So, you know, if you use a real sturdy brush and stay on that outside, I think it'll work.
Right.
Just curious,
some people
curious
don't want
to know.
This much.
I'm just curious to know, have any of you tried the gel liner on the waterline?
Yeah.
I've heard of
it. I want to say I have, yeah. It's been
a while, though.
I have. I've got. I get really close. I don't go into the waterline, but I get really, really close.
I mean, again, I mean, same thing, you know, you're dealing with somebody's eyes, so they may or may not be okay
uh-huh.
with you getting that close, but it works.
Oh, yeah. I know it works. I was just curious as to your look and, you know, how it looked and if the client was happy with it.
Oh, yeah. Always like it.
You know how it go, girl. That's nice. Oh, girl, you looking nice before they even look at themselves. So, you know, you hype them up before they look at themselves, and they know they look nice. Come on, you gotta sell it. You gotta sell it.
Mhm. Well, no, I think for me, most of the if I'm going to the waterline or extremely close enough to it. I've been using the Makeup Forever aqua colors, like the black. Like I know I use a lot of the black today in the waterline. And instead of using, because I don't know, I feel like even though it's going close to the eyes, many clients, if they don't see that fine tip point, they're like, oh, wow, what's that? You're not using a pencil? Oh, you know, I didn't know you can do that. I'm like, yeah, are you comfortable? All right, let's try this. And I'll use like one of the Cosette liner brushes, but they're it's fatter and you know it definitely works with the waterline or close around it to line the eye, so that they're not feeling like okay you're putting this sharp pencil in my eye. So sometimes that mm-hmm. has to work. Or I'll use a fan brush to like a skinny fan brush, like Makeup Designeries or the Revolution, the New Revolution brushes.
Right.
You use mascara and get right up in there, you know, a nice black and go, you know, brush on the hairs, but I may get a little bit extra on there to give it, you know, illusion of a liner.
Right.
Let's see. Technicolor is talking about the Urban Decay pencils, that they're great for the waterline.
They are awesome.
Yeah, they really are. I've used those on the waterline.
And they do not move at all.
No.
Not move at all.
Urban Decay has really come a long way, although they've always been a brand that I've always loved because of their, I mean, just the color and the pigment in their shadows. It's always nice.
Yeah.
I mean, they've gone through some transitioning, though, as well, but, I mean, years ago they really had really nice shadows.
I just want to quickly say hello to everybody, to Sharon Tina, Lorinda, Viola, Santara again, and Lee, Francis, Belinda.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is here? Who else is out here? Tanisha. I don't think I missed anybody.
No, I think you got everybody.
I think I got everybody. Renee, is that Renee?
Yes, yep. Renee is in here.
I just want to say hello to you all and thank you for joining us in the chat room. And for those of you who are listening by phone, thank you for joining us. And again, if you want to call in and make a comment, the number is 914-803-4399. So Did you all know that those little white dots on your fingernails, for those of you who may have experienced that or have seen other people with those little white spots in your nails?
Hey, what about them?
I mean, you all have seen those, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So you know that that is a sign of having low zinc. Did you know that?
Yeah, deficiency.
Mm-hmm. I knew that, right?
Yes. I know that.
So what do you do
child,
about it?
As a child, I didn't know that, no.
Yeah, I had them as a child.
Because that's when I had them.
Right, exactly.
I don't know what nails look like. I have had polish and acrylic and whatnot for decades. I don't know what my nails look like.
Cynthia has been wearing acrylic since she was 3.
Ooh.
So
another sign of zinc deficiency is if you bite your tongue, the side of your tongue.
I worked with a stylist that used to chew her tongue. She used to do that all the time.
Yeah, my brother used to do that while watching television. Never understood it.
So that, you know, you can get that zinc back where it needs to be, of course, you know, drinking more milk, eating hard-boiled eggs, which I'm not in love with, you know, that kind of stuff, to get your nails back where they need to be. I just thought I would throw that out there about those little dots. You know.
Get some zinc in y'all life. Get some zinc. You got
there
dots
you
on
go.
Your nails. Get some zinc.
Get some zinc. I wanted to share a nail tip, but I forgot playing around with those dots.
What tip did you just say?
I wanted to share a nail tip, but I forgot. Being funny, playing around with those white dots.
That's funny.
Mhm. Oh, okay. So these are tips that people already know that I'm sharing about the nails. But you know, I'm getting back into nail care. That's why I'm sharing all these. But everyone knows to prevent cracks in your nails. We all know that we must keep them moisturized, right?
Mm-hmm.
Vitamin E, castor oil, olive oil. What's so funny?
Okay, go ahead.
What's so funny?
I'm coolest to cracks in the nails. Like I said, I've had acrylic for decades. So I don't know what my nails look like, and I'm nervous to take them off.
Okay, do you have nails at all? Do you know if you have any real nails left?
Oh, yeah. I don't have nails on my nails. All my nails are right there underneath
the
acrylic.
Yeah, but if you take the acrylics off, will you have real nails?
I'm sure, but I'm also sure they'll be paper thin.
Mm-hmm.
I would have. Like, I consider taking them off and just doing like the gel polish, but I think that'll still, you know,
that's still a
nasty sure. Why don't you try taking them off and just growing your natural nail?
Yeah, no, because that's equivalent to me taking out my relaxer and going natural. Like that's probably not for me.
Oh, is that too hard for you?
That's work. Going natural is work.
It's a lot of work.
That's more time that I just don't have.
Well, I think it's more work. But I think it's more work for the hair, not necessarily for the nails. You can do it with the nails. I think with you because you've used acrylic so long, you're so used to seeing your nails look a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And then, that, you probably would hurry up and run and slap some more acrylic on them because you don't like how they look when, you know, if you would have them natural. But I understand the hair part being one more, because a lot of people get rid of their relaxers and think, oh, it's going to be easy with my natural hair, but that's not so easy, especially if you're not used to wearing your hair natural.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Santara, you can help us out with that.
Yes. Help you out with, I'm sorry.
The natural hair thing.
Well, what about the natural hair thing?
No, I'm just saying that it's not an easy, easy task. I mean, I don't know if you've always worn your hair natural or not, but I'm just saying for those people who may have had relaxers for years and now they're going natural, just kind of letting them know that, well, maybe it's not hard for you. I don't know. Maybe it's not work for you.
It's a lot of work to go natural. It becomes an emotional journey. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
Because you learn a lot about yourself, you know, in that transitioning process. What I find is that what happens in between, you know, from going from relaxed to natural, is that a lot of women don't understand that an effective way and kind of an easier way to kind of ease into it is to create texture on relaxed hair.
Mm.
And so what happens is women think, oh, I'm going to go from the straight hair that's easy to have wet, wrap it up, you know, do what I want, hit it with, you know, a flat iron, and then I'm going to have this hair over here. You know, I'm a grown woman. I'm not going to walk around in double strand twists. My hair doesn't curl the way I want it to curl. So you have all these things that play in a woman's head to go natural. But what happens is there are ways to create. You create that texture with your own hair. And some people, you know, it depends on the client and who you're working with. You'll have someone and they'll say, if you want to get that, you know, not really deal with the relaxed hair while you're growing it out, you know, consider some braids or twists.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say weaves. I personally, when I've worked in the salon and worked with clients, that was not something that I suggested for my clients, because they still, you know, the idea was they had a false expectation with the weave. That was my experience. I found that when the women would get the weaves, there was just this false expectation. Obviously, they wouldn't go for a hair textured weave that was close to the natural. It was something,
mm-hmm.
you know, that would be wavier, that maybe they can just spray some water in and it would wave up, you know, something like that. So they still had a hard time. So what I would do is you go back to the basics. You do things with braids. You do things with rods, you know, smaller rollers, things like that, and you create that texture for them. And I found that that was easier to transition, you know, creating that texture and them looking at themselves every day to see, you know what, I don't think I want my hair short and natural. I don't think I like my hair textured. And allowing them to understand that that's okay. You know, that is perfectly okay if you come to the realization that you don't like the way you look with your hair textured. The other thing I would do is I don't bone straight hair with relaxers, because hair should not be bone straight. And so really educating the client on proper hair relaxing, and it's supposed to relax your natural curl. Your hair should not be bone straight, because if it's bone straight, you're pulling the elasticity as far as you can get it with a caustic chemical. And so you're actually having to put more into your hair by doing that, like nutrients and things like that, than actually if you have it done the proper way, where there still is some texture. And the best person to kind of reference is Oprah Winfrey. You see how healthy her hair was? And she wore relaxers for years. But she would tell you her hair was never ever bone straight, ever. Andre never made her hair bone straight because he really, really applied relaxer to her hair the way it should be applied. And I think, you know, that's also another, a whole other show in how, you know, relaxers have been put in hair and the lack of education for it and, you know, what it looks like, what it's supposed to look like. You have women that's like, they'll sit there and go, ooh, ooh, fanning themselves, ooh.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not burning, it's not working. You know, so, you know, you have that mentality that flows through. And there's all these other things that go with that. And you do have women, you know, my best friend, she came to me and she said, girl, I can't do it. She was like, I just cannot be natural. I need my relaxer back. Can you give me a pixie? I need a flip, a curl, or something. I can't do it. And I was like, that's okay. That is okay. You have to know what works for your lifestyle. You know, it
right.
doesn't lessen your beauty. It doesn't lessen you as a woman. It doesn't lessen you spiritually. It doesn't make you, you know, not appreciate your heritage. You know, come on. You know, you don't have to walk around with a fist pick in your back pocket and quoting, you know, some great poetry from Du Bois. You don't have to do that to say, I'm black. You know, I'm beautiful, my hair is straight, I love the way I look, later for everything else. You know, you have to really accept who you are and how you want to look, and that's what works for you. I'd rather you be relaxed and taking care of your hair than being natural and don't know what to do, because you can still have natural hair and your hair is unhealthy.
Right.
Natural does not equal, you know, healthy hair, and I've seen that. You know, I've seen girls, the hair is tangled, it's matted, because they're natural. And I just
mm-hmm.
want to embrace what God gave me. If it's growing out the follicle, God gave it to you. You just chose to put some chemical on it and lay it flat a little bit, get your baby hairs in line, and that's fine. That is so fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's fine. So, you know, I just think that it's all how it's presented. And I do, you know, there's a crossfire that ends up happening because from the professional side and from the blogger side, I get both sides. I just think that both sides need to be more responsible.
Do you have any suggestions for those people who are coming out of relaxers?
When moisturizing, understanding, you have to understand moisturizing.
Yes.
You have to understand. And I saw someone put the other day, when they see the word keratin, they get nervous. They were asking if anybody had heard of a product. It said keratin on it. And I was like, that's so interesting, because then it goes back to being educated. And, you know, the whole keratin straighteners, you know, that whole thing. But keratin is so natural, and it's been around forever. So it's just so interesting that this one word put a little fear, some nervous into this person about whether this product would be good. And it's like, you know, for years you haven't been flipping over bottles and paying attention. And keratin's been in a lot of deep conditioners. But because it became really big and people writing about keratin straighteners and some, you know, hair damage as a result of it, you know, the whole formaldehyde thing and formaldehyde free and that whole thing going back, people get very, 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 you know, very antsy about certain words they hear about. And I think, you know, again, it goes back to being educated. You want to get into, like you talked about, vitamin deficiency. Hair is the same exact way. You know, your pro-B vitamin is really important for your hair structure. Pro-B vitamin is what you typically see. Pro-B vitamin, whey protein, keratin protein. Keratin falls into proteins. Those are the proteins that you typically see in, you know, when you're looking at deep conditioners, things that talk about the hair shaft from a structural perspective. You know, there's some tears, there's some rips or something. And I always say you kind of can liken it, you know, the hair shaft is kind of like an elastic, an elastic rubber band. You know, the more you keep stretching, the more you keep stretching in the same spot, you'll start to see the fibers of the elastic start to break down.
Mm-hmm.
And hair is the same way. But there are some fibers that can come into something that you can put in the hair and let it sit, and with some heat, it actually starts to mend the fibers back together, kind of repair. So that's when you get into, you know, you need to get into your deep conditioning, you know, your moisturizing. Some people are into steaming, which is really, really good. You know, steaming is when some people do it. You have the Hotiful steamer now, where you can sit under and do a steam butt steam, and of course people have done the steaming through, you know, in the shower. But steaming is where the basically the hair shaft is wide open, just like your pores. Your hair has them too. It's just wide open, and then when you do that, then you go and you put your deep conditioner on to get the most out of it. I'm old school. Hot oil treatments, a lot of people still like them, you know, to go in. But I say if you do it, understand, get an oil that is actually absorbent, something like olive oil, which is very therapeutic but also very absorbent into your scalp. Because hot oil treatment, they called it that, but it was all there for lubrication, kind of to make sure that the follicles stay stimulated so that the hair ensure proper hair growth. So, you know, mm-hmm. those type of things. And those are things you can do at home. It's really simple. You know, you want to, you know, massage your scalp, get the blood flow, put some oil into your, you know, into the scalp, massage again, and take plastic wrap. Wrap it around your head, let it sit for like 10 minutes because the heat is coming up, you know, allows the heat to come up, the blood is stimulating. Take the plastic cap off and then shampoo your hair.
Right.
And people say, oh, well, aren't you washing the oil out? But it's not about the oil. It's all about the scalp. It's all about, getting the blood flowing in the scalp. And the oil, some oils will adhere, but things like olive oil, grapeseed oil, jojoba oil, which tend to be, you know, mixed in with something else, Shea butter is awesome, especially if it's raw, because it's absorbent and it's one of the few butters that is cultivated that will absorb into the skin, into a cellular level. So you have three levels. And so shea butter is one of the few that actually will allow you to get to that level. And so that's why we're starting to see it a lot more in a lot of hair products. So, you know, you want to get into that. You know, moisturizing weekly, deep conditioning, you know, every 4 to 6 weeks. The trim thing is always a back and forth, you know, where people are saying, do I trim? What should I trim? I think when you're transitioning, trimming is really important because the more you keep embracing trimming that hair down, the quick, you know, you don't feel as bad as you feel like you're doing that big chop.
Right.
So that is something, you know, to take into consideration. I wore a relaxer for only 10 years. I've been natural longer period of my life than I have ever wore a chemical. And what I did is I kept every month I cut an inch off. And then I got, you know, really short like a pixie. And then I kind of braided it. I wore braids for about a month, and then I took it off, and then I started rod setting my hair on perm rods that were close to my natural curl. So I used really small. I was using like, I think gray and white. I was alternating gray and white. I love alternating because alternating gives it a more natural look versus just, you know, that type of straight set.
Right.
And I did that, and then I just kept trimming it, and then finally I just took it down to where I want it to be. But my hair was really, I wore my hair really short for a couple of years. My hair was really, really short, just short and curly. Like, probably, I want to say probably an inch, a little more. not more. So I grew my hair. I started growing my hair out. The length of my hair is now, I haven't cut my hair for like 12 years. 12 years, yeah. I started growing it back when my son was born, and my hair was really short when he was born.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That was good information. I think the problem that I find, and I hear my sister talk about this all the time, is that, you know, with natural hair, a lot of stylists, you know, you tell them my hair needs moisture, and it's like they are afraid to, you know, besides hot oil treatments and deep conditioning and things like that, they're afraid to put anything in your hair for moisture.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand.
I think there's a couple of things. I think it depends on where you go. Like I said, I've been on both sides of it. I've heard that, you know, some things aren't used unless it's an add-on service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they consider it an add-on service. So, like, other than what's on the bar, that's what's typically used. Whatever the shampoo and conditioner that's on the bar is what's on the bar. If they have to walk away and get it, then that's considered an add-on service treatment. So you'll find that because it's something not promoted all the time, there are a lot of hairstylists that just don't know what's available. It's unfortunate, but that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They just
mm-hmm.
don't know what's available. It's amazing, you know, when I'm talking to someone, I'm like, oh, have you used Redken's? You know, their intense, you know, treatment. No, I never heard of it. I'm like, girl, it is so good. You take that and you mix a little bit of that with this, and it's their intense hydration treatment. It's amazing. There are so many people who don't have, they don't even have that in their salons to offer.
But I'm just simply asking for a little drop of oil in your hand and rub it through my hair. How about that?
Well, you won't really get you won't find a lot of that. You'll find maybe a drop of silicone. It won't be an oil in the way you want. It will be maybe like a cuticle smoother or, you know, something of that nature, but typically it's definitely usually a silicone-based product that really is run through your hair to kind of smooth, you know, any ends that are, you know, sticking up or, you know, just kind of fuse some of those flyaways, those type of things. There are some stylists who do have, you know, there are some oils out there now, some hairstyling oils that some, but it all depends on who they're servicing, like who their main clients are as far as what they're carrying. And that, I think what's happened is there's become a division. It's not an all-encompassing servicing place anymore. You know, people are walking in. There was a time in the 90s, no lie, where a woman would walk in a salon and she'd be like, do you guys do pressing curls? No, we don't do those. And she'd leave. Now that sounds unheard of, but that was what was going on at that time. Everybody was getting a relaxer and everybody was wearing a wrap. So you had press and curl salons specific.
Right.
And so that was something really going on in the 90s. Now we're in the millennium, and that's when naturals really started coming about. The surge of braid salons, late 90s into 2000s. And I remember sitting on boards and going into classes and workshops, and there was a whole undertone of these braiders are going to take us out of business because everybody's getting their hair braided. And so what happened is girls weren't coming in asking if they do press and curls. They were coming in saying, hey, do you have a braider here? No, we don't do that. They turn around and they leave. And then if you did have a braider, this braider, oh, how much do you charge? It'd be some astronomical amount of money. And then she's like, girl, I go down the street to Nana's and get my hair braided for $25. And
mm-hmm.
that's what we did. None of charge. $25 to $75, and I could pick a hairstyle out of the book. Y'all tripping. So then that whole thing happened, and then natural started coming on. And then girls were coming in, and guess what? Do you do natural hair? Nope. Because all the clients were getting relaxers, and their hair was still being hit with the Marcel irons. So there had to be a place, because there was no place for them to go, because it was braiders over here, and then the traditional hairstylist over here. That was relaxing. So then the natural girls didn't have a place to go. And still, in some places, they still don't have a place to go. Here we are, 2012, and now they have the internet. You don't need to go to a salon anymore, because I can go to YouTube and type in this girl right here. And guess what? She's not only does she show me that she can do her hair in her bathroom with her laundry hanging from the curtains, but she also got her own product line too. And she looks like me. She sounds like me. And she understands what I'm going through, because she's so sick and tired of going in a salon and coughing from the smoke of the pressing curl and getting her eyes rolled at because she's not getting the creamy crack. So she's going to sit at home in the privacy of her own home, the comforts of her own home, and she's going to do her own hair from the computer.
But I can't get a drop of oil from YouTube. I'm still trying to get some moisture.
Because
what am I going to do about that?
When you go on, all a woman wants to do is what? A woman does not walk in the salon to say, I want healthy hair. Make me look healthy. No. A woman walks in the salon because she wants to look beautiful.
Well, I walk in the salon because I want healthy hair.
I don't care about
looking beautiful.
But
I want to make sure when I walk out looking beautiful, I have hair on my head.
Exactly, but the aesthetic is what you want. If someone comes in and they say, let me tell you something for real. If you went into a salon and a girl was like, she has healthy hair, her clients all have healthy hair, and you sat in her chair and she gave you a bunch of crocodile curls. You know what crocodile curls are? Crocodile curls are those old school curls that your auntie would get. She got it done on Friday for church on Sunday, and she walk around with those curls in like a bonnet. Her hair was very healthy, greased to the heavens, but healthy.
But the thing is this, you can have healthy hair without it being greased to the heavens. You can.
I think
the stylist can put a little oil on your hair without it being greasy, but it can still be a little something and still be healthy and bouncy and, you know, have a lot of body. I mean, but what's wrong with, like, just like my sister said, I don't get why you can't get that. I don't get why stylists won't do that. Like, I mean, nobody wants to put a drop of oil on the hair. They always want to smooth down the frizzies if they smooth them down.
Mm-hmm.
They always want to put a product to smooth down your edges, which to me, that crap doesn't do anything but break your edges off. I don't need to have greased up edges. I need to have a little bit of a greased up scalp.
Okay.
My scalp
but
is
this
dry.
Is
my
why.
Hair is dry.
But this is why they don't do it. The idea the idea is oil is weighty.
Right, but
so,
there are too many oils out there that's not heavy.
Bingo.
Can you put a little on your hand, like my sister said, run it through my hair? Or my scalp. Whichever one.
But most don't. You're having an issue because it's not a practice.
But why? But that's the question. Why?
It's just not a practice. It's just not a practice.
But why? We need to get...
When you go back, when you even go back to the basics of hair school,
mm-hmm.
oils go on your scalp. When you're dealing with oils go on your scalp. oils go on your scalp. When you go to the basics of hair, cosmetology, and you go to the books and when you're, what you're taught, oil goes to your scalp and for an oil treatment. It is there for treatment purposes, and it, a shampoo comes after it. It is not a practice that happens after all the hair is done.
It used to be when you were younger and you had long, beautiful hair, didn't you?
It used to be, but that was when you got a what?
That was
oil
when you got
was associated with
a
press and curl.
But guess what? I get a press and curl now.
But the way it looked back then and the way press and curls are done now. Press and curls.
But products have come a long way, so why can't you get a little of the new school oil?
Absolutely. I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm showing you from that other side why it's not done. The press and curl, back in the day, press and curl, it wasn't even, it was a wax. Your hair was pressed with a wax. It was press and wax. And then over the years, then, it's like you said, products change. It went from press and wax to press and cream. And the press and cream, you know, wasn't as heavy. It was lighter. One of the biggest pressing creams on the market was Dudley. It was that orange cream. The wax, they kept their wax, and then they had a pressing cream. Then you started seeing some people came up with pressing oils, and then people said, we don't even need that. We don't need that anymore. Guess what? We figured it out. We can shampoo your hair. We shampoo your hair, tepid water, and then we're going to give you a conditioner. We're going to rinse it out with as cool as you can stand it as a client to seal that cuticle to give you a great shine, because guess what we found out? We found out that we actually, if it's done the right way, our hair can pull up its own oil. And what happens is they will blow dry your hair, and then they would go in with those Marcel irons. And what would they do? They would take your hair by a section and they will buff. They call it, they will buff your hair shaft. They will buff the hair shaft with the iron. Because it was a time where stylists weren't even picking up pressing combs anymore, because they realized with this buffing technique, they can pull up the natural oil in the hair, because that cuticle, that shaft was sealed. They can pull it up and your hair would be so shiny. And press and curl clients had bouncy, shiny, relaxed-looking hair. That's when the relaxed-looking press and curls came out with that buffing technique. So guess what? There was no way people were going to figure that out. And then what happened? Put some oil on it? No way. No, we figured out something great. This is not going to happen. So that's when that came in. Still, if a woman had dry scalp, the next time she came, what they would tell her was, they would say, you know what, you need a scalp treatment. So they would do some type of treatment to lubricate that scalp so it wouldn't be as dry, and still do the same technique, because the woman wanted a press and curl that looked like she had a relaxer, and that would last. So now here we are still, as time's going on, no one's still pulling out any oil, because you just don't do that. You put oil on natural hair.
Says who?
It's just a practice. It's nobody saying it. It's just
but
a practice.
Why? But then why? If nobody's saying it, then why ain't nobody doing it? Why? Why is it a practice to not do that?
Because then it goes back to you don't put oil on the hair after the hair is done, because in a couple of days, after it's oxidized, after the hair is relaxed and it's oxidized and stuff like that, then the hair is going to be too oily, because you put oil on hair that's going to pull its own oil up.
Why won't they do it before the hair is, before the final state is, why won't they do it before? Why can't they add moisture before?
Oil is
not moisture.
That
they won't do.
But oil is not moisture.
But why can't they? Why can't they add something for moisture before it gets to the final stage?
And they should,
because if you're telling
Because if you're telling them that, you know, my hair is dry, my hair is this, my hair is that, why can't they do it before? Because some of them don't.
But that's the thing. It, for many reasons, it depends on the professional you're seeing. For different reasons, it all depends on that professional. If you're telling them all of that and at the end of your service your hair is still dry, then they missed the mark. Something needed to be done in there. Maybe the consultation wasn't thorough enough. Maybe what you say, what you're saying, my hair is dry and I really need X, Y, and Z, if the stylist is not asking you any questions to what you're saying, which there should be questions, because, you know, I don't know if you go to the same stylist all the time, but, you know, sometimes because of your job you may not be able to. So they don't know you from a can of paint. So, again, it goes back to whatever's up on the bar. Sometimes you got to walk away from the bar to go get something suitable for that client's needs. And a lot of people, they don't do it. They just don't do it. And then you have some places that aren't equipped for, they just aren't equipped to do it. They don't have a back bar, you know, where they can go in and find you better products to suit your needs, to give you the type of treatment that you need. You know, your hair could be dry and your sister's hair could be dry, but you both have two different issues going on.
Uh-huh.
So,
you know,
you have, think about it. You go to a salon, and I notice as a stylist, I go to a salon, a girl comes to me, and she's new, and I say, oh, you get your hair relaxed. What do you use? I don't know. I said, well, you know, can I ask you how long were you at your previous stylist? Oh, I was seeing her for like, I was with her for like, what, 5 years, 6 years? Do you remember what she was using in that time? No, mm-mm. All I know is she would go to the back, she would put something white in a bowl, and she would bring it back out. Can you call your, I'm going to ask you to please call your stylist and ask her, ask the receptionist, can she pull your client card? The client comes back and says to me, they say they don't have client cards. You keep no records on your clients, and you, the client moved to my state from another state. So here I have a woman, I have no idea what was put in her hair previous. Relaxer and color, I have no idea. She calls the salon and they say, oh, we don't use client cards. Well, can you ask the stylist what she uses in my hair? We don't disclose that. They wouldn't tell her what she's been putting in her hair for 5 or 6 years. This is a reality. This is how people do business. So she's just like, well, what am I to do? Well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to relax your hair right now. I'm going to give you a deep treatment. I'm going to work backwards. I'm going to work as if there's a problem, even though there's not a problem. So there won't be a problem. So I found that most clients don't know the type of information that they should have when they're sitting in the chair. It's your hair. You should know everything that's going in your hair. And most people don't know that they should know this. Most clients don't know. They just go, they sit in the chair, and they trust whoever's doing their hair. And outside of you just saying, guess what? I want a deep, my hair's dry. And she goes, okay, I gave you a deep conditioner. You'll keep with some oil in this. But you don't know what the deep conditioner is that she gave you. Because guess what? If you walk away the next day, 48 hours, which I've seen, and your scalp is itching like crazy, you're like, what? You have no idea what's going on. You don't know what she put in your hair. You just think your scalp was itchy before you got there. So she just didn't do her job. So there's a whole, that's what I said, this is a whole, there's a whole thing that can go along with that. And that was one of the things I say, one of the things I did working in the salon, I empowered my clients. I said, listen, you need to hold me accountable. You need to know every single thing I'm doing to your hair. I'm not cutting your hair with you turned away from the mirror. I know what I'm doing. So, you know, and I had a client card, and they got a client card. Oh, stylists didn't like me. Because my thing is, for whatever reason, you don't have any money, life changes, whatever, you move away. You need to go away. You need to know, you need to relate to the next person what I'm doing on your hair. And they had it right there. I'm not concerned. People, you know, it's kind of that fear of, well, if you tell them, they'll be able to do it themselves. Nobody's walking in the store trying to buy our, you know, 12R of a certain brand color because I have it written on a piece of paper. Nobody's trying to do that. So, you know, I think if you trust them, then they'll trust you. And you have a better working relationship with your client as far as giving them exactly what they need.
You know what? I think this is a conversation that needs to be continued because I have a lot of questions. No, I do, because there are some things that, you know, after you've talked, I get. But then there are some things which, you know, kind of like a side issue that makes no sense to me. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to round up some hairstylists and try to and do some research and continue this conversation next week because, I mean, there's a lot of thoughts floating in my head right now, but we've already gone. We've gone over, and I know a lot of the people in the chat room can't hear us talking, so I don't want them to miss out.
I can't believe they didn't call.
Because they were just in the chat room. They weren't on the line and listening. I mean, and in the chat room at the same time. So they're missing out on some of the conversation, and I do want them to be included. So I think we will end the conversation here, but pick it up again next week, if we can pick it up next week and continue from there.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of questions. You make sure you get back on that line because you are going to want to have an input on what is said next week. So
I'm so, I'm used to it. And I, you know, my views are different. You know, I know my views are different. But I made my views different on purpose. You know, because like when I mentioned the braiding, I specifically had a really big hair person tell me, you know, I was a fool for wearing braids because I was taking money out of my own business because I basically was giving my clients the okay to walk out the door. Like I was told that to my face. So it's really, really interesting when you get into, you know, when you go, you know, on that professional level and you all stylists have, you know, they have a different view. Some feel like it's totally the client's fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some, there's no responsibility with them, you know, no accountability with them. So, you know, it's always really interesting. it's going to be an interesting one. Get ready. But then you may have some and everybody will say, you know what, I totally agree. But the masses are, you know, those of us that have the same mindset, it's a small pool of us. And, you know, where we are, you know, we might be out in a few salons, but the salon culture, you know, supersedes it all. So, you know.
Well,
you know who that is, Hunter.
Denise, my darling Denise.
Uh-huh. I'm still a believer that I can just put just a little tiny bit of oil.
You can.
On my hair.
You can. You can. I was not saying you can't. You can.
I know
you weren't thinking of scheming.
Yeah, I mean, I know you were agreeing to some things. You didn't agree to everything. You were agreeing to something.
Because I have to stay. I try to stay neutral. And I try to present it from the other side because you wouldn't see it from the other side. But so that's why I was trying to stay on I was trying to get you to see in order why that is. To not make it yes or no.
I get that and I understand that, but I think sometimes the stylist, and that's because that's what most of them are, just stylists.
There you go. Bingo, you said it, I didn't.
They don't understand that the client, most clients, not all, some clients, let me just change that to some, understand their own hair.
Mm-hmm.
And they understand their scalp. I mean, I've had to tell stylists many a times, I can't use that Aveda shampoo because it's drying my hair out. And when I come in the salon, they want to give me some little itchy scalp something that's tingling and drying me out more, thinking that that's going to help me, and it's not. You know, and I can't use certain, just because this is an Aveda concept salon, I can't use that particular shampoo. You need to use a moisturizing shampoo on my hair. I mean, I've had to tell quite a few stylists that.
Right.
And I'm the client. But yet,
they,
in my opinion, they should know more about hair than me.
Mm-hmm.
But I
hair. But then you get into, see, and I come from a different frame of thinking of that, too, because you have your basic. I went to hair school, I graduated. Then you have those who went to hair school, graduated, and continue to seek outside education.
But those are the ones who are more into hair care.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then you have, and then, you know, yeah. So there are different. There are those, you know, who just keep on with the salon culture and knowledge of how things work. And then you have people who continue to go out and get advanced education. And those are the people who tend to, you know, do more hair care. And it's a matter of finding those types of stylists. So you do have those different frames of thinking. And there's a lot of people just go to hair school to get the license to do their thing because they know everything already. They just have to get the license because that's what the state says. So, you know, you have that other frame of thinking too. So there's a lot that goes with that. But this was great. It was great. Took a different turn.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Santar, for joining us. And Cynthia also for joining us. And for those of you who are in the chat room and listening by the phone, thank you so much. I think we're going to continue this conversation again next week in some way. Because, again, like I said, I have questions now. And I'm going to invite some hairstylists. You know, I'm going to try maybe get a couple of hairstyles, ones who work, you know, in different sides of the industry to see, you know, their point of views, products that they have been exposed to and that kind of thing. So we can continue the conversation again because I'm interested now.
Okay.
I really am. So thank you all very much. For those of you who are listening, if you enjoyed tonight's show, go out and mark it as a favorite.
How do you do that?
You know what? I can't tell because I'm signed in.
Okay.
So I can't really tell what you're seeing. But from what I can remember, there should be, on the home page, there should be an option.
Okay.
Like when you go to the actual, when this show is out there maybe in about 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes.
Okay.
And it may not even take that long to go out there, but when this show shows up on the home page, there should be an option right there, like under it.
Yeah, it should be right under the show.
I see. Like Facebook, big one. All right. No, I don't see it yet on here. Because I always
I'm glad I'm on
to ask. Because I never see how to favorite a show. Hmm.
Yeah, somebody asked that question last week, I believe it was. But, yeah, so once this show pops up, and we have to end the show first, and then once it comes out there, it should be an option out there. I'll have to go back and look at it myself just so I'll know what to tell people when they ask.
Okay.
But I'll let you know when I find out if you can't find anything.
All righty.
So until next week, you all continue to be beautiful and blessed, and have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.